to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Audrey.
How are you?
Tired.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like everyone's tired right now.
I don't know how the hell you could not be tired in this. I mean, unless you're just sort of like, I don't know, numb to what's going on or choosing numbness, because that's like a protection mechanism and escape and a way of self-preservation. I feel like if you are dealing with and tuning in and experiencing any of the energies that are up right now, you got to be tired. It's right. Exhausting.
Right. I was thinking about you. I think it was yesterday, day before. I was in the elevator for my building.
Right.
And I was thinking or talking to you out loud.
I'm glad you do that too.
Yeah. I was like, this is no walk in the park. And I was thinking, Aubrey would say, maybe you need a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. Maybe no walk in the park is the problem.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's why I usually say it's not for the birds. Like, it's never, this is just not easy. This is not, it's not easy straight.
So we talk a lot about what's happening in Scorpio.
Right.
Right. But we, I think, neglect the elixir that's mm-hmm. happening in Pisces, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Pisces, Neptune is retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue. Right. So Neptune retrograde in Pisces, which is trining into the energy in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
When Neptune is retrograde, in particular, in its own sign, as it is now, it can feel like God is out playing poker somewhere. And we're like, could you come home? Because we need some help, please. And Neptune's going, not yet. I'm on a roll or whatever. Right? Yeah. And so we have to look within to find our own guidance at the moment. It can feel like we're dropped. We're not dropped. It's just a feeling. God has never left us. And let me say that when I say God, I'm not talking about a man in the sky.
Right.
I'm not talking biblical. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about oneness, the greater force of life, whatever. At the same time, Chiron is retrograded back to 29 degrees Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
And that has the effect of, in my opinion, making people feel like, oh God, we might be stuck like this. And we're not. We're not stuck like this.
Right.
Feels like it though.
Yeah.
And so what do you do with that? What do you do with both Chiron retrograde and Neptune retrograde within Pisces, where you're having to dig within without falling into feeling like you're abandoned, right?
Yeah. That's rough. I was talking to a friend yesterday, I believe it was, about like this sort of energy, right? And we were talking about, so it's the Hurricane Michael has been coming through my area. And so it's been really kind of eerie energy. Winds are super whipping, right? Like the sky is a weird color, that sort of thing, flash flooding going on all around us. And yeah, the other day that the UN released their climate change report and gave us 12 years to get our acts together.
I was going to say, for posterity, what did that report say?
That we have 12 years before, like, we are past the point that we've done irreconcilable.
The point of no return, right?
Right. 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 In 12 years.
And we're in 2018 right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we were having this conversation because we, like you, are raising children, right? In the middle of this now 12-year report, and having that those post-apocalyptic dreams, really, of like, oh, the whole entire, it's just all scorched, the earth is scorched, and what do you do with it? right? Like if we can, are seeing these reports all around the world of things that are like visibly say we're going down, this is ending, life is ending as we know it, right? Or it's shifting in a different manner. What do you do with it? Because you can start taking to the streets and running, or you can be like an ostrich and put your head in the sand and be like, oh, I'm just going to pretend that it's not really happening, right?
Or you can be a cockroach.
Right, right.
Or you can be a cockroach.
Correct.
Right? Like my son asks me every once in a while, because he's 11, he knows, right?
Right.
He's like, what happens if everything goes down?
Right.
And I said, and I tell him, I'm like, look at me right in the eyes. I'm a cockroach.
Mm-hmm.
That can go down, but we're not.
Right.
No matter what.
Right.
I think that that's kind of the mentality of how do you handle things right now?
Yes.
Like if you're going to witness things falling down, are you going to be like, I'm going to fall down with them? Or are you going to be like, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Whatever happens out there, you will find me standing.
You're going to adapt.
I'm going to be the person who creates the next 2.0 of art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
The next art gallery in the new world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the next person who creates a Montessori school because they remember what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fall.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Are you going to run into a collapsing building, or are you going to be a cockroach?
Mm-hmm.
I say cockroach because cockroaches survive everything. Cockroaches will survive nuclear war.
Right.
They find a way. We don't like them, but they survive.
They survive because they adapt. It's very interesting that you're saying this. I think I've talked about it a couple of times about adaptogens and how they come. Basically, we create adaptogens in a very simplified way in herbs and in plants and in food sources because the plants are put under really stressful situations, right? They go through a drought. They go through flood situations. They're exposed to high winds. So the plants release stress hormones. And as they release stress hormones, and then we come in as humans and we consume them, they teach our bodies how to adapt to stressors. Right?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So the ability to adapt, right? Like that's what you're saying to me when you say a cockroach is the ability to adapt, the ability to transform, the ability to be a shapeshifter in whatever is transpiring in front of you. Like we have herbs, we have foods that have been able to do those things to shapeshift in order to really provide our bodies with the ability to heal themselves. Like if you go out in the yard, most of our yards have chickweed in them, right? It's a weed that we try to get rid of. However, it's extremely high in iron. So it helps to give us new blood cells, right? It helps to give us more energy to move out our day. It's an adaptogen because it adapts to the environment. That's what you're telling me. When we look at like the placements of Chiron and Neptune, of we can very easily run towards it all or stick our heads in the sand and be like, no, not doing it. Especially with that feeling of like, we're all out to play, right? Like everything that should be intervening right now is not intervening, and hands are off deck.
Right.
Hands are on deck.
It's falling into the trap of, if I can't see a way, there must not be a way.
Not true. Oh, but it's such a mind fuck. That's such a mind fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a slippery slope that, like, I don't know about you, but once I get down that rabbit hole, it's real fucking hard for me to come out of it.
But like, not to beat a dead horse in our podcast, but that's a Scorpionic thing.
Right.
It's falling into the trap of, oh, well, we're just fucked.
Right.
No, we're not.
Right.
No, we're not.
Right.
No. That is part of, that is, that is one of the after effects of us being liberated from walking outside of our unlocked cages, mm-hmm. of us going, I don't know what to do next, and therefore I shouldn't do anything ever.
Right.
Whoa. You've been traumatized.
Right.
You've been traumatized if you feel like you can't go out into the world autonomously. Don't you think that's a problem? Don't you think that maybe that's on purpose? Don't you think that that's part of the programming?
Yeah, and that is a really big chord, I think, that we're seeing play out really systematically right now. Like, if we are having traumas, one, we're having personal traumas come up based upon what we've been speaking about within the Scorpio energy of, like, personal traumas are coming up left and right, and it's shit we don't really want to look at.
Things are coming up out of nowhere that we didn't even know existed because we put them into a fucking box under the bed.
Because we had to survive.
To survive.
That's what we did. We locked them under
a box. And now it's coming up because this is the time of our liberation.
Right. But it's so interesting to me that we're watching it twofold, right? We're watching it personally of our personal trauma. My personal trauma is coming up and going, oh, fuck, I didn't really want to look at them. But I guess now you're here. I'm going to have to talk to you. Hello. And then you're watching it twofold because systematically in the collective and in consciousness and in society, we are seeing mass amounts of people also reliving their trauma on a social scale, right?
Right.
And to choose the, like, okay. And the trauma is being relived as a motivation to liberate ourselves and liberate humanity. I get that takes faith. It's requiring a shit ton of faith for me personally to believe that, like, the things that I locked away are coming out for a reason that's higher than the reason why I locked them in there.
It takes more than faith.
Yeah.
But first of all, I apologize. My voice is going. So for anyone who's listening, I'm sorry. I'm like trying to correct it a lot. It takes more than faith. It takes a lot of bravery.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of bravery, not faith.
Right.
Yes, faith. I agree with you that something's going to catch you, right?
Right.
It takes a lot of bravery to say, if nothing catches me, I'm going to say it anyway.
Right. Oh, yeah, because that's the line. That's like standing on the mountaintop and the winds are whipping and you're rocking back and forth on your feet and you're not sure whether or not you're going forward or you're going backwards. That requires a lot.
Describe that more.
Okay, so in several of my hikes, I've been caught in the middle of a freak storm out of nowhere, right? And one of the backpacking trips I had taken, I was on top of a mountain, and I was camping on top of a mountain, right? And I was watching the storms roll in around the mountain bowl that I was in. And I was standing there, and when you're standing on top of the mountain fully exposed, you'll get the winds first, right? You'll start to feel like the swaying of the wind. The tent will start whipping really quickly for you. And then there is that moment where the rain will come in and smack you in the face. And there's the moment of, like, this energy that's pulsating behind it. And every time I've experienced this, there's a moment where you don't know if you're going off and you're going to be caught by the wind coming up the mountain, or if you're going to fall flat on your back and be smushed against the mountainside, right? Like, it's that equilibrium, that's a teetering equilibrium that you're not quite sure which way is going to pan out for you.
I shared with you a long dream or sequence of dreams that I had. and I won't bore everyone with this, but one of the snippets that I want to bring up right now is the feeling of being in a raft where you're going down a river and you're like, this raft might go under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it might. You can turn back and put more air into the raft, or you can go forward and find air up there. You can get a new raft that's bigger with a bigger motor.
Mm-hmm.
You can adjust. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Still go on the river. Still go up the mountain. You wouldn't not go up the mountain because of wind.
Right.
I think that's what's really what's really important right now, is that when we feel the ache and we feel the extreme feelings and the shadows coming up and all the healing that's being addressed, really remember, you would not go on the river. You would not go up the mountain.
Right.
You would do it anyway.
Right.
And figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Come on, honey. Come on.
Yeah. It's always one of the teachers I sat with one time was talking about that mentality of being afraid, right? And whether or not that's true, whether or not we're truly afraid. And the point that he was making was, what happens when there's an emergency situation? When a building is on fire,
mm-hmm.
Do you shut down? Do you watch the building burn? Or do you immediately go into, how do I fucking handle this? And I'm
right.
Handling it
you
now.
You don't say, I'm too scared. I'm too scared. No.
You don't. You
that's
don't.
Not what you do.
You nope. don't. And I think that's such a powerful teaching, especially when we are unearthing shit that we really, I mean, and let's just be frank about it. We don't want to look at it. That's why we locked it away in the first place. We don't want to look at it. I'm not saying that it doesn't serve a purpose coming up, but it's not fucking pretty. It's just not. And yet we are also made to look at it and to respond to it in that emergency manner and fucking heal it immediately and take the right.
Are you actually afraid? I think that's a brilliant way to look at it. Are you actually afraid? Because I'll tell you what, the trauma I've been in, I have never been more afraid than when it was happening.
Right. Yep. True statement. Agreed.
I would rather bring that shit up now and get it off of me.
Right.
Get it off of me. It doesn't belong to me. I try to tell people, and I don't know if this resonates. I hope it does. That the story of what was done to you is not your story. That's the story of the person who did it to you.
Absolutely.
And they need to go process that.
Right.
You get to be free.
Mm-hmm.
You get to heal from what was done to you.
Right.
You deserve it because you didn't even fucking do it. Maybe you participated. Maybe you invited it in. Maybe you have a pattern of wanting that to happen over and over and over again. Sure. But what has been done to you, that's the story of them doing it.
Right.
It's not yours. Stop. Stop identifying with, well, this is what has always been done to me, so it's going to keep being done to me. Right. No. No. Stop. Right now. Stop doing that. Please. Venus retrograde in Scorpio is trying to say, clean out your shadows right now, so that you can receive better, more intense, more deep, more honest, more true. And that means get that residue of the story of, well, this is just how it is. No, it's not.
Yeah. That hits a very big chord.
Why?
I think it's a story of that's just how it is, right? And we've talked about this before in like the complacency, and I've talked about this before in the ways that we unconsciously live out patterns, right? Of like, well, that's just the way I always react, so that's just what it is going to be. Or maybe one day I'll do differently, but right now,
this is my type, or whatever.
This is who I am, right? Like, well, yeah. This is just what it is. And I know it's because of my placements, and I know it's because of my personality that I have a lot of intolerance for that mentality. And I also know it's because there's a part of me that knows that there is a higher level of consciousness that we are all evolving towards that requires us to put down those patterns to liberate ourselves from those storylines that we carry that are not fucking ours, but we have inhabited for how many lifetimes and generations?
That's right. I told you about that dream sequence.
Yeah.
You and I were talking off mic.
Yeah.
About how the dream sequence started with me being in a room or in a public place or whatever with a bunch of people that I knew, and I knew the bartender or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was arguing with all of them about what I thought they should be doing, right?
Yep.
And they likewise were telling me what they thought I should be doing. And I exited from that room and went back up to my hotel room. And then I woke up and there was a voice or a presence or something, whatever, that said, you know, you were meant to go on an adventure past that room. You got too caught up in arguing. And I was like, oh shit. And so I was like, okay, I'm going back in. And I went back to sleep. And then when I went back to sleep, I went past that room, didn't argue with anyone, and went on the adventure.
Yeah, it's that piece. That we can liberate past the patterns, past the storylines, past the programming that is just there on a very unconscious level. And let's be frank about it. It's there on an unconscious level because that is the like how we've been kept contained. That's how we have had to survive in a lot of suppressive environments. But what we are constantly saying is that is now over. Now,
the story is over. There is no story.
Right.
There is no story. That's the fucked up thing that we all have to grasp.
Right.
There is no story. It's not a matter of choose a different story. No, there is no story. You have never been alive in the past. You will never be alive in the future. Ever. Never. Right. It's impossible.
Right.
You are always alive right now. There is no story.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like what the reclamation of what do you want to do with it right now? What do you want to do with it right now?
Discover it.
Right.
You don't get to do anything.
Right.
Life is going to tell you. If astrology tells us anything, it says to you, you are part of a story that is way bigger than you and you don't have a vote. You can't tell Pluto it's suddenly going to act like Cancer.
Right.
No. Nope. It's not going to do it.
Right. So that, for me, that means getting out the hell out of your own way, right? Like, for recognizing, one, we don't have control. We don't have control. Like, we have control. Here's the thing we have control over. We have control over how we respond and react to situations, stimuluses, mirrors that come up in front of us. How we respond to it. Do we respond in a manner that is relevant and looks as if all of our programming has always been there? Or do we respond in a way that we've never responded before as a way to liberate ourselves forward? Right. That is what we have control over, right? And how do we do that with ease, right? Like, I'm watching trees today bend back and forth as if they're going to snap. And to me, that's such a symbology of what is going on. We're being bent. We're being exposed. We are being strained. We are being moved. We are being liberated in ways that does not feel fucking comfortable. And yet, we're resilient. Yet, we will stand tall We will hold our roots very deeply in, and we will stand straight once again. So we bend with the wind. We bend with the wind, and then I make soup. That's what I do.
And then you make,
I make soup because that's what I can do.
Yep. Right. And then you make soup. And then you make soup. And you know why you make soup? It's because you're here.
Right.
You're here right now.
Yep.
Right. I'm going to stop everything and put root vegetables into water with seasonings. And yep. I'm going to care for it. I'm going to watch it grow. And I'm going to let it become something that nourishes my body.
Yep.
I know that sounds like hippy dippy bullshit, but I'm not kidding about this. You have to come back to being here.
Yep.
Literally, the North Node in Leo is asking us to find out what breaks our heart open, right?
Mm-hmm.
The North Node is about to go into Cancer in November. And it's going to say, and then what do you want to water that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to water your heart?
Mm-hmm.
That will be 18 months. And then the North Node will go into Gemini. And by then, Saturn will be in Aquarius. There is going to be wild ass shit going down. Before you know it. And we're going to have to trust our own thinking and not fall into dogma.
Mm-hmm.
So when they start to say it's from the devil, we're going to have to be like, yeah, it's not from the devil. No, we're going to have to think. So it's opening our heart, opening up our sensitivity, opening up our minds. Everything personal is happening while the South Node is saying, don't fall into trends, South Node in Aquarius. Don't fall into the old paradigm, South Node in Capricorn. Don't fall into dogma, South Node in Sagittarius. Big paradigms are collapsing. Do not go into them. Heal your humanness. Now, right now. We're out of time. Right now.
I kept thinking of purity when you were talking about that, of going back to the pure essence. I have a quartz crystal that sits on my desk that when I'm in readings, a lot of times I will hold it, and it's called an empathic quartz because there's a lot of breaks in it, right? You can see lines that the quartz over the time was broken mm-hmm. and you can see it. The reason why it's called empathic is because it's called a self-healing, right? It's able to feel and respond and be empathic with the breaks that it withstood. As you move the quartz, you see rainbows. You see future. You see opportunity, positivity. You see what we're all transcending towards. Right along with all of those breaks.
Look for the rainbows.
Yeah. Thank you for listening in to the Be the Evidence podcast with Susan and I. We are really grateful that you are here, that you're showing up, that you're willing to be seen, and that you're exploring these conversations. Thank you. If you're curious at all about the offerings and the readings that Susan and I do, I would really urge you to go to our websites. There you will find a lot more information about who we are and the services that we have. Susan can be found at susangrace.org, and I can be found at aubreycara.co. For all of our listeners of the podcast, we have set up a Patreon page specific to you guys. There you will find services that are not available to anyone else. And you can find us on patreon.com/BeTheEvidencePodcast. When you're there, there are two different options for you to have access to a guided meditation and or a reading with Susan and I both. If you ever have any questions or comments or feelings that you would love to share or stories about how the podcast is resonating with you,
We would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to us at betheevidencepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, please know we are deeply grateful for all the ways that you are showing up. We see you, we hear you, we feel you. Thank you.